away here now. I'm Sheriff Quadri.
I'm Jimmy Disso. Good morning.
Yes, you can watch us live on Facebook. We're also live on YouTube. Just search for Nigeria Info 99.3 on those two platforms, and you'll be with us on those two platforms to watch and also share your thoughts on the stories that we got for you. We're going to start with the Vanguard newspaper, page 9. Top Nigerians involved in illegal mining, funding, banditry, terrorism. Alake. Top Nigerians involved in illegal mining, funding, banditry, terrorism. Alake.
Yeah, okay. So we are facing the same problem we had with the issue of petrol. You all remember the issue of petrol subsidy. We keep talking about how the subsidy was compromised. Even those of us on the outside who are not anywhere near government have an idea of those who are involved. They were never brought to book. They were never mentioned. If anything, they are the ones now, they have so much money, they are the ones almost directing the affairs of the government in some manner. These are the elites, the people very close to government, you know, very close to those in power. Indeed, they put some people in power. They provided the money. Okay, so now the attention now shifts to minerals. The minister, my good friend, Adeleye Alake, now says that, oh, some top Nigerians are involved in illegal mining and sponsoring banditry and terrorism. Name them. If you can't name them, then don't tell us. How should you be telling us, as a government official minister at that level, you tell us some top, who are the top Nigerians? Name them. Let's know them. If you can't tell us who they are, then sorry, tell us something else. Because these people are going to rob us blind, create another crisis, because mining is the other area now that we are looking at, given all the shenanigans in the oil, whatever. We're beginning to look at mining as a strong source. And that's why I think the president appointed his trusted person and put him there. So it's not enough. It's not enough of this rhetoric. If you have top Nigerians who are involved, by now they should be cooling their heels in the DSS. And you should be naming them and shaming them. It is time Nigerians know their enemies. It is time Nigerians know who are the ones putting themselves in this suffering that has become unprecedented. It is time. So I'm happy with him that he said it. But I expected him to give up. By now, as a minister, he should be able to give us a few names. By now, we should be seeing handcuffs in the hands of people. Then we know that this is a government that wants to tackle corrupt practices and so on and so forth. So that's my take. I just have this call coming up. And he says, Nigerians are the powerful people behind them. We identify them with both kinetic and non-kinetic means. We have encouraged those petty illegal miners to form cooperatives and so on and so forth. I think it's time we made certain demands of. We can't continue to suffer like this while the elites. It's the elites. Forget it. If you are not in that circle, you would never venture into things like this. In the case of mining, it even has some traditional rulers. And we should name them. That a traditional ruler doesn't mean that you should put us through suffering. I don't think so. And that leads me to the next story that Sheriff is going to read.
Before we go into the next story, the issue of mining has been around for some time now.
Yes.
And the process of mining, you know, people have said that the elites in the north, even the criminals themselves, they use the process of mining to fund their criminal activities. Mm-hmm. Now, anytime I hear, and this also has been around, but anytime I hear that form cooperative, the government will work with the artisanal miners and all of those things, it hurts. And the reason it hurts is because it sounds like double standards to me. So in the South, in the Niger Delta, they cannot do, what do they call this in? Illegal petrol refining.
Refining, yes.
But then, in the northern part of the country, where they have minerals in abundance, they can do illegal mining. You are even encouraging them to form cooperative. How does that sound?
The truth is, governance in Nigeria is personalized. What is good for the goose is not good for the gander. If you don't know that now. I don't mean you. I mean you.
Know. Oh, of course.
Yes, I don't mean you. You know, we are living in a country until we tell ourselves the home truth. That's why all these things just completely irritate me. Like this next story.
Let's go and take this next story. I'm sure that you must have seen the video that trended. Well, the Nigeria Customs Service has commenced investigation into an incident at the Murtala Mabel International Airport in Lagos, where an officer was observed soliciting 5,000 naira bribe from a passenger. The National Public Relations Officer, Chief Superintendent of Customs, Abdullahi Mewada, confirmed this on Tuesday in Lagos.
The hypocrisy of all this. the PRO of the Customs says that the officer's behavior has rightfully raised public concern. It has not raised any public concern because it's been like this forever. Right from when I was in uni, the thought was that if you join the customs, you're going to end up retiring as a millionaire if you know your onions. Corruption is embedded in that place. So, the PRO has a job to do. There is no public concern. Absolutely no public concern. We know what it is. And we are not ready to tackle it because in the customs, in the government, at the political level, who can cast the first stone? Top to bottom. If you bring out the thing that he fears most, either the Bible, the Quran, or Muju Muju, or whatever it is, who can cast the first stone? So I saw the video, and immediately I felt sorry for the woman, elderly woman. How much do you pay them? What kind of welfare do they have? So let's stop being... What she did, of course, is not good. It happens every time you pass through. They will always beg you for money. In fact, if you look at that video very well, it was something dangling between begging and bribe. You understand what I'm saying? I'm not saying what she did is good. Nobody, I'm not making excuses for her. But sometimes we also need to face reality. Who can cast the first stone in this country on corruption issues? The other day, I saw the EFCC man saying that, oh, we are going to get tight on corruption. We are going to... There are low-hanging fruits for him. You don't need to... There are low-hanging fruits that can be seen. How many people have declared their assets correct in a correct manner? Who cross-checks what they say? Why do you stop deceiving? I'm not saying we should encourage it, but it brings out something in me that a case of a woman who just asked for... which was something between a bribe and begging would make so much news. Well, we know... And we challenge any one of them to cast the first stone. Go to their houses and see the kind of houses they live in. Go to their car lot port and see how many cars they have. So unless we want to get this thing out of the roots, things like this for me become an irritation. And if I had my way, it wouldn't even make news. The PRO said that. The service is committed to ensuring full accountability on the part of any of our officers. I challenge his bosses to cast the first stone. And he said he noted that the customs service strongly condemns this unprofessional conduct and was dedicated to upholding the higher standards of professionalism. Really? This is Christmas Day. I just wanted to use this story to bring to the fore the hypocrisy that we have around us here. Corruption, excuse me. Corruption.
I mean, there is nobody. If you use the airport, you know that this gentleman is just feigning ignorance. I mean, unnecessarily, right?
Who is
because.
That?
That young man, the public...
no, he's doing his job. No, the poor guy is doing his job. The poor guy, I don't have a problem with him. That's why he's a PRO. The poor guy is doing his job. But all of us know, as Ratata would say, all of us know what are going. We know what's
going on.
Yeah, we know what's going on.
Let's move on to our next story quickly now. We've got this one. This next story is on the Punch newspaper. Ondo crisis. Deputy takes over as Akeredolu returns to Germany for treatment.
At last. Well, there are so many stories that are behind all this, but because they are not really authenticated, we can't bring them to light as such. What for me, and you know I'm biased in this case, and my bias is towards Akeredolu being healthy. It was said that the president intervened. There must have been serious pressure on him, and then said that he should convey a letter to the assembly. And the chief press secretary has said they will do just that. There was something in some of the news, unconfirmed, that talked about electronic signature, which means that the gentleman is probably not even in a position to write anything or sign. And the story, if it's anything to go by, had also said that his son was in the meeting that they had with the president and things like that. And that as at yesterday, I think he would have been taken out in an air ambulance. That raised an alarm in my head. If that story is true, it means that this gentleman was in a crisis position up till this time. And what it also means, I think this is what I would recommend. I would ask the Akeredolu family, they must have a family, they must have an Oloriebi or whatever it is, to investigate the circumstances of this man. If his friends and associates can put pressure on the family, let's know what went on so that we can use this as a basis to rescue people, you know. Now we're also hearing that his signature was forged. So we would like to know for how long was this man almost down and out? And until the president intervened, is not when you now want to fly him back to Germany? I think something sinister, you know, actually has been going on there. And it's a pity. The lesson for me to young people, it might not be related, is that in determining your future, when you want to pick up a spouse, you've got to be very, very careful. Because, and I'm sorry to go this personal, and because it hurts me from my marrow, because when I hear something like some months ago that should Akete die, and the statement from his wife, mentioning who she thinks should be the deputy governor, it was as if somebody shot an arrow at me. And when I see all these things, something tells me that this gentleman was, in the first instance, I repeat, given his condition, he's being treated for cancer, we hear, most likely leukemia. Okay, after getting treatment, what if I were him and I have the resources? I'll take up a flat close to the hospital that I know I'm going to live for at least the next 1 year. Because even after I get well, I need to be on standby to be taken to the hospital should the need arise. Now, this man has been kept here. Okay, only God knows from what we can see how long he was kept in a position where he actually should have been immediately rushed back. In fact, there was no point bringing him in. But we will let's see how it goes. What concerns me, and I'm sorry, I'm biased and I'm a human being. What concerns me the most is that this friend of mine at last is on his way for better treatment, and I hope he survives it. There have been reactions though. Dr. Tunji Abayomi, who all of us know, renowned legal practitioner, who is also the pro-chancellor of Adekola Ajasi University, said that the resolution of the Ondo crisis is not in Abuja. And I add, it is a pity that the president had to order, you know, there's supposed to be independence between states and whatever, but the president had to order. And says, the resolution of crisis in Abuja, the president only helps us. We have to resolve the problem in Ondo State. The law does not give the president power to govern the state. He can only govern the country. The power of resolution belongs to the executive of Ondo State, We need to solve the problem. It is left for the leaders of Ondo State if there will be resolution or not. My prayers are for Akiti. I hope he survives it. My prayers also are for the state itself, because you don't want to imagine, Sheriff, you don't want to imagine what this crisis would have done to them as a people. You know, there's some element of trauma. You can't see your governor. He's not around. Crisis every day. Nothing has been able to move. Nobody can sign anything. Of course, for the fourth signatures, if it is true, we want the government to investigate this to the letter, no matter whose ox is God. I'm just saying this for record purposes. I know it might not happen.
Okay. Let's go to the editorial page of the Punch newspaper. Fundamental rights remain elusive in Nigeria.
Yes. Listen to the punch. While the world commemorated the International Human Rights Day on Sunday, a few days ago, Nigerians also grappled with recent reports of rights violations by state and non-state actors in several parts of the country. The inescapable reality is that despite 24 broken years of civil rule, respect for basic rights remain elusive for millions of Nigerians. I'm going to say something that I've said for the umpteenth time. You don't have rights in this country. That's the reality. You don't have rights. Rights are predicated on a legal system that is robust and authentic, you know, and reacts to the yearnings of the people. But with what we have in Nigeria, let me tell you, for those of you, it's my fundamental right. You don't have any rights. I don't need to go through it. You know what police do to you. You know what soldiers do to you. You don't have any rights. Maybe the only people who have a bit of rights now, thanks to Lagos State government, are the women who are pummeled by their husbands. Aside from that, you don't have... Government can deal with you. How many times have we heard government disobeying court orders? So for you, you don't have any rights. And I tell the young people, don't be deceived by the fact that you need to be careful. You need to know the country that you are living in. You know, and there's something called, the part that worries me for the young people, there's something called profiling. In Nigeria today, you better just look neat and go your own way. If you can jack by the hand, then you can go to countries if you're a young man and you have Rasta, you're in trouble. If you're a young man and you're carrying a laptop, you're in trouble. If you're even some parts of this country, you'll be arrested for wearing these ragged jeans and whatever. These are the simple ones. Much more than that. As I'm sitting down, I know I don't have any rights. I don't have any rights. The system that monitors what I do makes it so that the prosecutor and the judge are the same. So what can already the NBC, I'm not going personal, but just the NBC can decide what I've said is wrong and fine me immediately. So what rights am I talking about? We're still trying to work and see if we can create a balance in this area. So we will not have, very, very unlikely, given the kind of politicians that we have and the way we go about our things, I don't think we will ever have a system that guarantees your rights. So if you don't know, you better know now. If you don't know, know now. If the government nabs you, takes you, if you want to know, talk about rights, go and ask Emefiele. Emefiele didn't commit murder. Nobody has charged him for a treasonable offense. But see what happened to him. So we need to be careful. I'm not going to bother to read the editorial to the letter, but just to tell my people that those who are inspired to do so will continue to fight for rights for Nigerians. But for you to know that in reality, you don't have rights in this country, which is very sad. Abi, do you think you have rights?
I have.
I can get you arrested on a Friday. You won't see outside the police station at least minimum Monday or Tuesday.
I think it's about who you know. We can try who you know and who I know.
Okay, let us start now.
Let's try now.
You know, Nigeria is such that a colonel arrests you, you go for a brigadier. The brigadier intervenes, then the person who arrests you goes for a major general. The major general arrests you, then that one goes for a general. Then you go like that.
Then that's how they go. That's how Nigeria works. And in a city or in a country where you know, there is law and order. You shouldn't have to know
anybody.
You
shouldn't have to know. Did you not?
You don't have to care about whether you are a son of this or the relative of this.
Look at Biden's son. He faced a criminal
charge. Exactly. You know, you don't have to know anybody. The system will just.
I don't want to mention any name. You think that boy can never be brought in front of a judge for criminal charge?
You know, when you were talking about Akeredolu's issue, I wanted to say that look, in a country where the system works naturally, Akeredolu's situation is settled. First thing is settled.
And then, in what capacity was his son? You see, we must learn to follow the law.
Yeah.
In what capacity was his son?
Like
involved?
How? It's just the weak institutions that we've nurtured in this country,
which our leaders continue to weaken,
because it's deliberate.
It's deliberate.
They need to have a hold on the system itself, so they will of course weaken the system to their own advantage. Of course,
those of you who keep saying that my fundamental rights have been,
you never jump. Let's go take this story on page 38 of the Punch newspaper. It reads, powerful Nigerians behind illegal mining, insecurity.
I think we've
taken this one. So we're just going to move on straight to the news page, the panorama page of the Punch. Then we'll go to the Trust as well.
What, by the way, today is Wiki's birthday. I think he's 56. I wish him a happy birthday. I hope he will use this, his birthday, to reflect on his public standing. And somebody needs to lock him up in a room and tell him certain home truths. I don't need to say more than that. The recent video that made the rounds is so embarrassing, it's unbelievable. But then we've seen worse. We've seen him address traditional rulers as if they were his, he said, you, fake. A traditional ruler. He appears to have no respect for anybody. And I hear he wants to be president. And guess what? Given the Nigerian system, if he has enough kunku, he'll make it.
He tried.
But if he has enough, and he's only 56. Well, let's leave that. But happy birthday all the same to him. And also, there's something on the... Sorry, Sheriff. There's something on the page that precedes the news, the news page we want to read, and there's this story here: why my first marriage crashed. Pastor Olumide Emmanuel, I want to use this opportunity to advise adults and young people alike: do not bring your personal life to the fore. Don't, under any circumstance. It's not going to do you any good. When people have want to interview me about my personal life, I say it's nobody's business. It's a decision you can make, though. You have the right to. But I don't think it's tidy, and I thought it's about time I alerted to people. You're just providing entertainment for people to stick their noses. And if you're not careful, it could become controversial. You know, he says he gives an account of why his marriage crashed. So what does he want? He wants his wife to reply him. And then what? What do you think you gain by it? Then people feed on you to make up their numbers and so on and so forth. Try and keep your private life to yourself. It has never done anybody any good. Never.
Some people do it to set the record straight.
Which record?
Well, perhaps it's because the life is no more private.
You need to look at the larger picture.
What if the other person
has
taken the matter to the public already?
You leave him alone. What
without setting the record straight.
What record?
And the person is maligning your person.
I've been maligned so many times. Usually they want to draw you out. Sometimes it's even a false accusation. If you say you saw me in one corner with my trousers down and you saw a dog crying, that's your headache. If you want to believe him, so be it. Because what then happens, you see? Especially in a thing like marriage, I don't know if there were any children from it. You now go, you know, the implications are far and wide. Mm. If it's in the course of my job, if the need arises, yes. But in my private life, I've been accused of things, you know, people target you in very many ways. I just ignored it. Because what they want to do is to draw it, because once you are drawn in, and then it expands, and people would already have made up their minds which one to believe. It's a bit of a strategy. Keep your private life private. Keep your private life private. Is it anybody's business to ask me if I'm married or if I have... I can talk about my children, yes, if it props up like that. But to come and start talking about why your first marriage failed and so on and so forth in the papers.
What if he's sharing his own experience now to teach others?
It's not my experience we used to teach others.
No, it's his personal choice now to use his own life experience.
No. It's your choice. No, Sheriff, get it right here. I'm not saying it's against the law, no. I'm not saying it's society frowns at it, no. But is it take it or leave it? You can share your.
There's nothing to share. Don't worry.
You can share. I'm telling you this, and I remember discussing this long before the social media came on. I think it was in the 80s. I was having a discussion with my friend Muyiwa Adetiba.
Okay.
And in those days, it was the gossip papers. And I remember things like that. I remember us saying that, look, if you don't want people to probe into your life, don't come to that one. Then it was even just newspapers, not even what you have now. Because it will keep expanding. There are hungry people out there who want to make money out of your own crisis. Look at what has happened in Mobad's case. It's gone viral. It's gone this. They will tell you, share.
Till today.
Till today. The father is still explaining. The mother is still explaining.
Till today, yes.
You know? And I also like to mention to one policy I have in journalism when I was active in the papers. Never to make fame or money out of somebody else's crisis. You know, that's why some of my friends who veered into these social magazines then, before we had the social media, this soft sell. I was involved in a case where it was a complete setup. When I say I was involved, it was my friend. They took the photographs. It was my friend. It was female. They took the photograph and merged her with the guy and made it look as if they were kissing. And so when we called I had to call... The so-called editor, I invited him to lunch.
We have to go now.
Then I put him. By the time we saw it, we were two separate photographs that were matched together.
Unfortunately.
So, you don't...
We got to go. Diabumi is next at 9. All right.
Yes. That's why I'm in a good mood.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for coming around, sir.
Thank you.
It's back to Kofi now in the morning, Cross Rally. Thank you for being a part of our morning on the dailies today. We're back tomorrow at 7:30. I'm Sheriff. Here's Jimmy. Good morning to you. Yeah.
Nigeria Info. We are more than just radio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel at Nigeria Info FM. Check us out on Facebook at Nigeria Info 99.3. Follow us on Twitter at Nigeria Info FM and on Instagram at Nigeria Info FM Lagos for live updates as it happens. 99.3 Nigeria Info. Let's talk.